Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. We've talked frequently on this program of the need for an estate plan. However, in this increasingly digital world, the definition of an estate is certainly expanding. Think about your online accounts, including banking, Facebook, email, and what about your bitcoins? What happens to these accounts after you're gone? It's an interesting question and one that our guest today is going to help us with. Rob DeHollander is co-founder and managing principal of the DeHollander & Jantz Financial Group, and he joins us by phone now from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Rob, welcome.
Hey, Mike. Thank you.
So first of all, give us like an overview of digital assets.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you mentioned a few of those up front, and the obvious ones are things like your email, your social media, your banking accounts. But technically speaking, a digital asset is any electronic record of anything that you own or license or basically control. So the one that we see come up a lot that a lot of folks maybe don't think about would be things like, of course, online photos, file storage and sharing, your backups, Google Docs, things like that. But then also medical records, insurance accounts, utilities, even loyalty programs on credit cards. Most of us have those in some electronic format, and it's one of those things that we don't often think about as a part of our estate plan.
And so I'm assuming that there are some problems when addressing these digital assets in a traditional estate plan.
Yeah, it's gotten a little trickier, because in many cases, a lot of these online services that we use, they didn't exist 10 years ago, right? So it's a fluid area where things are emerging and changing over time. And basically with traditional estate planning, you're taking steps to ensure that your executor, whomever you name as your trusted fiduciary, can access your information, that they can protect it, and then eventually distribute it to your heirs. The tricky part with digital assets, though, is that the laws as they're currently written specifically prohibit someone from accessing those without written authorization in your estate planning language, which for most folks that we come across in our counseling are actually still lacking some of that.
Okay, and so has the government addressed any of this yet?
Yeah, so where there's a need, the government will always step in and provide a solution, right? There's a fairly new statute that's come out in the last couple of years, and it's being adopted on a state-by-state basis. It's actually called the, and I have to read this because it's such a mouthful, it's the Revised Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act. The shortest name they could come up with, I guess. And South Carolina has adopted that as well. But basically, it doesn't presume that a family member or a fiduciary can access your digital assets just because of the relationship. It actually specifically authorizes anyone, even a family member or fiduciary, to have written authorization before they can access any of your digital accounts.
How are you recommending that our listeners start organizing and preparing their digital assets?
Well, there's a couple things. First, I think just this interview, this kind of conversation, a lot of folks don't even have this on their radar. So the first is just to be aware of and think about how you want your online accounts, your online life, handled if you were disabled. And it's not even death. It can be dementia or a disability and at your death. How do you want that handled? So just be aware of it and sort of start a conversation. The second step, and this is more tangible, is definitely create a good inventory. And again, most of us have a fluid digital life that expands and contracts based on the kind of providers and where we're holding our information. But make sure you've got that. And investing in a good password manager may help, because sometimes that can seem overwhelming. And in some cases, we actually see digital assets that have an economic value. So things like your airline miles, your membership reward points, if you have a domain name that can be sold, don't assume it doesn't have a value and just start that conversation with your attorney.
Okay, and so you mentioned a password manager. I'm assuming then that you need to share your master password with your password manager with at least one key family member, an attorney, any other fiduciary?
Yeah, that's correct. And they should have access to that anyway. Again, it's tricky, and that's where the password managers have been helpful because there's so many of them. And they typically make you change it so often. But for sure, you want that included as part of your estate documentation as well.
And Rob, I see that you've sent me a pretty informative magazine article on this topic, and we'll put that link at our webpage for this show. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks again, Mike. Have a good day.
Rob DeHollander is a certified financial planner and co-founder and managing principal of the DeHollander & Jantz Financial Group. He joined us by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Besides the link to this magazine article, we will also have a link to his firm so you can learn more. Our address is southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can hear this show again and connect with us with the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.